Mini episode 335 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by The Unheard Scene, your home for great music interviews of all stripes. Follow them on the web at unheardscene.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the FDH Lounge. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross, your FDH Lounge dignitaries in residence, as part of our football sessions here today, breaking down the National Football Conference. Yes, that is the strains of the WCW Monday Nitro theme you hear wafting in the background here. We like to keep it old school for those of us who remember us way back when.
Yes, I'll tell you what, how interesting that the theme of a failed brand leads us into a conference that has failed in my book
this year.
Wow, you're going to the Morris School of Segways.
Yes.
Very nice.
The NFC, who would have thunk it? A conference that everyone had as the stronger of the two coming into the year.
Yeah.
That has not proven to be the case. The majority of bad teams in this league reside in this conference.
Mm.
While when you look at the top 10 next year's draft, they're almost going to be all NFC teams.
Yeah.
I mean, right off the rip, you can just disqualify a ton of these teams already from playoff contention. Before we do that, we'll disqualify several, because I want to start in the NFC East.
Okay.
A division where someone's going to make the playoffs because that's the rule.
Mm-hmm.
And
regrettably.
Well, you hate these teams. All
yeah.
The markets and they
yes.
talked about. The Dallas Cowboys are going to win this division.
Yeah.
They are the only team that has looked consistently decent this year. They haven't played really a bad game this year, Dallas. They played a bad second half against San Diego. But other than that, I mean, look, you make fun of Tony Romo all you want. He threw the terrible interception against Denver. But he wasn't covering Calvin Johnson last week against Detroit. That's not his job.
Dallas has had about a bad 15 minutes during the course of the season. Their problem is those 15 minutes are comprised of the last couple of minutes
of
several games.
Yes. And I just think that when you look at the other three teams, and before the year, you and I both liked the Giants to win this division. That was kind of the consensus.
Yeah.
And
we say that to cover ourselves now.
Well, no, it's true. Most people have the Giants.
Yeah.
Because it's interesting. Washington, we both had regressing, and they have. They're going to probably finish where I thought. I was kind of nervous because I seem to be on the very low end of Washington picking 6-7 wins. And that's where they're going to probably finish.
Although, let me go Redskin homer on you for a second. They were 3-6 last year, Kyle, before going on that run.
No. I'll say this for the anti – I'll attack the other side of the argument.
Yeah.
The anti – oh, I told you this RG3 thing went last. If I'm buying a stock for next year, I think Washington's best suited – for next year to come back and maybe take the division. Giants are going to have a new coach, and they've got a lot of holes to fill.
That defense still
Dallas
scares
is,
me.
That's true. Well, yeah, so does every defense in this division.
Yeah, true.
Which is why they all stink.
Well,
Philadelphia needs a new quarterback.
Who's the best right now? Dallas, which
yes.
is one of the reasons we're picking them.
Yeah, Dallas is. I mean, they're the only ones who are serviceable. The other three
are,
I mean, just atrocious. I mean, let me take a look here. I mean, Washington's defense was historically bad through the first 3 weeks.
Right.
The Giants have found a way to be worse. Let's take a look here. The Redskins have given up 229 points in 7 games. Oh, my God. Which, if ands, or buts about it, is just awful. Okay? 229 through 7 games. Those 229 points allowed. Second worst in the league, trailing only Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
And keep in mind, a lot of teams have played 8 games.
Yeah.
And they've given up fewer points than the Redskins. The third most points allowed in the league. Well, no, it looks like Minnesota's up there now. But, I mean, the Giants have allowed 223, the Eagles at 211. So these are all bad defense. The Cowboys have allowed 186 for sake of comparison. And they played one more game than the Redskins. So, yeah, the Cowboys have the best defense, got the best quarterback right now. And they better win it because next year their salary cap is a jumbled mess.
Yeah.
And they're going to – I mean, the problem is this team has no depth because they pay all the stars too much.
Right.
So next year they're going to take a step back. I got to think that if the Eagles get a real quarterback – they'll be okay. I still think they're gonna. I picked 8-8 before the year. I can still see it happening.
It's possible.
With one asterisk,
mm-hmm.
Matt Barkley doesn't play any extended time because he's terrible.
Well, yeah,
he is not the quarterback of the future.
He's been pretty poor so far.
The quarterback of the future is not. It's funny that the Eagles have had three quarterbacks see significant time this year. None of them are the quarterback of the future. They're not re-signing Mike Vick. He's too injury-prone.
Right.
He's too old. I mean, he's old at this point. Nick Foles, to me, is a guy who's going to bounce around in this league as a backup. I temporarily made the mistake, obviously, in retrospect, buying into him. But only because he gets the ball out a lot quicker than Vick, which is...
How many guys has Philly had like him over the years? You know, from Ty Detmer on down. You know what I mean?
Kevin Cobb was supposed to be the quarterback of the future years ago, and he's now I don't know what he's doing.
All these Western quarterbacks they bring in.
Yeah, I mean, Nick Foles, it's funny that I watch a great deal of college football, and at no point when I saw Arizona play, that's where Nick Foles was at, that I was like, oh, this guy's going to be an every week starter in the NFL.
Yeah.
So they need a quarterback.
Meanwhile, Matty Ice from not too far away goes to Atlanta to become a star.
Yeah. Well, he was at Boston College, Matty Ice.
Yeah.
Boston College, Arizona.
East Coast guy. Well.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Yeah.
Okay, I got
you. Saying,
okay,
Philly
I'm sorry,
goes to the other end of the country.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
But Washington's problem, we're just jumping all around here with these teams. Cause you could just drive a truck through some of the holes they have.
Yeah.
Why don't they give the ball to Alfred Morris more?
I don't know.
Somebody explain why? Like, RG3 is clearly still not healthy, so why do you not, like, run the ball more? Which is why you made that. We were 3-6 last year. Well, you ran the ball a lot, and the Shanahans, for whatever reason, just want to have RG3 drop back all the time.
That's a great question. It really is.
Alfred Morris's yards per carry is pretty good.
Yeah. So, because that just shows you that some of the problems in that division with the other three teams are self-inflicted. But again, Dallas, as they have been most years, a mediocre team. It just so happens this year, that old saying about in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. If you're mediocre in this division, you're going to win it. And that's just what it comes down to. Dallas.
The usual Dallas season.
Yeah.
Which
is going to be good enough.
Is going to win this. Usually it isn't, because one of the other teams kind of surprises you and wins 10 games. But honestly, Dallas could win this thing. I think they're going to be 9-7. And win it. And they seem destined to then be, you know, you and I joked about this before we went air. They're destined to be a home dog in the wild card round to the team that doesn't win the West, which is probably San Francisco.
They'll be a hefty home dog, and I would say deservedly so.
But hey, you know me. I'm already – I give up my playoff game of the year already now before. But, no, I mean, that's where the East stands. I mean, it's easily the worst division. It's unbelievable. I saw a stat last night on Monday Night Football. Best non-division records.
Mm-hmm.
AFC West is number one. NFC East was last. You know why? The AFC West, which was kind of perceived, obviously with Peyton Manning in the division now, the reputation has become much better the last 2 years. But it wasn't that long ago. It was kind of a worthless division, same as the NFC West, ironically enough. Where the NFC East, the tradition, all the big names. The AFC West is clobbered, the NFC East.
They're kicking the sand in the face,
Denver swept it already.
Yeah.
They're already 4-0. San Diego's 2-0. Kansas City's 2-0. The only loss was Oakland against Washington.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, they're going to beat up on each other, apparently,
right,
in the division, and not win a lot of other games. That should be enough. Dallas goes 9-7, takes this.
Well, and Washington had that motivation of wanting to avenge that Super Bowl 18 loss. So you almost have to throw that one out, don't you?
You and yes, I'm sure.
I just wanted to get your goat with
you
that
rip one. Mark Lawrence's trend.
Yeah. On his
play any
stuff.
Team that lost the Super Bowl to the team they're playing more than 20 years ago. Okay. So the NFC East, do you believe this statement? I can't believe you would. Setting one team to the playoffs. The champion.
Oh, clearly. Okay. And again, we're saying Dallas right now, and I believe it strongly. I will say this. Having said that, even a team like the 2-6 Giants, not 100% dead just because they're in the worst division in football. 2-6 puts
you
two games out right now.
Are they off this week?
They are
off
this
week.
And
then they host Oakland. Oakland, and that's a 1 o'clock game, so Oakland has no chance.
So, I mean, if Dallas ends up, and the best case scenario.
They just dug themselves too big a hole.
Probably.
0-6, you do not come back from 0-6 to make the playoffs.
The best case scenario for them or
they
for anybody else.
They may play themselves out of Clowney, though.
Right.
Which is who they need badly.
They probably did. Is that if Dallas ends up underachieving what we predict and going, say, 7-9, and then you limp into 7-9 and take it from them on a tiebreaker. That's the scenario for any of the other teams in here, which is not a great scenario.
Philadelphia does play Dallas the last week of the year.
Yeah.
That could be for the division. And we know Dallas has struggled in that spot.
Yes. So that the thing that will save Dallas is that I don't think the division will still be in any doubt, and their usual Week 17 gag will be to no effect whatsoever because it won't change the seeding. In the other three divisions, there's not a whole lot of surprise, somewhat similar to the AFC, with the somewhat exception of, where it's a little bit different in the NFC than the AFC, was that in the South, there was more contention about what was going to happen. I will say, credit where credit is due, you picked New Orleans. I did not. I stayed with Atlanta.
I loved New Orleans coming here. You know that I said the team I was highest on, higher on than anyone this year was New Orleans, it seemed. I said 11 wins. They're probably going to exceed that.
I'm not going to be a bitch and cry asterisk because of injuries, but I don't think you can completely dismiss it in the case of Atlanta.
I didn't think it would be this easy because I think it's over.
Yeah,
I think it's
over
at this point.
It is over. And I will say this. An Atlanta team at the pace that I expected them to be at would still be looking up at New Orleans the way they've played. I have to say that in fairness. New Orleans has played much better than I thought.
Okay. Let's take a look. Assuming the NFC East just puts the division champ in the playoffs, that's five playoff spots.
Yes.
Go to the other three divisions. Four of those spots are going to go to the following teams. New Orleans, Green Bay out of the north. I think they're starting to hit their stride despite the injuries there. I think they'll win the division.
Yeah.
And then Seattle and San Francisco in the west.
And here's the thing, too.
And those are all expected.
Scheduling is destiny when you look at this, because the game that will probably be the game of the second half of the season, and to me it's kind of funny because I like to take a lot of pleasure in how the ostensible worldwide leader grossly overpays for Monday Night Football and gets crap games to show for it. But they're getting the biggest game of the second half of the season
by far. Is this the New Orleans-Seattle game?
Yes. New Orleans at Seattle. And that's the whole thing, too. When you look at those two teams, the reason that I'm going with now, and again, what Seattle has to deal with that New Orleans doesn't is San Fran can still jump up and win this division. I think Seattle's going to hang on, but that could go either way. But what really helps Seattle in the battle with New Orleans is hosting that game there, because both Seattle and New Orleans, the way they've been playing, are about unbeatable at home. On a Monday night, New Orleans has got to go in there and probably loses their best shot at the number one seed in the playoffs because of it. It's the schedule.
We talked about this on the weekly show.
Yeah.
Once. Can you imagine if those are the top two seeds, which I'm projecting them to be right now?
Me too.
I mean, that almost kills all the teams that play on Wild Card Weekend, because who's going to go in and win in both those places back-to-back weeks?
Right.
And, I mean, there's a very good chance that both of them are running the table at home. I mean, if you remember, the Saints haven't lost a game with Sean Payton as the coach since 2010. Because they ran the table the last year. He was suspended last year.
Yeah.
And then in 2010, they went 9-0, including a playoff win against Detroit.
Yeah.
Seattle, they haven't lost at home in forever. And by the way, here's the key thing with Seattle. Mm-hmm. They already have four road wins.
Yeah.
They still have five home games left, and they're, what, 7-1?
I think that's the main reason I'm going with them over San Fran.
Look, Seattle was my Super Bowl pick before the year. I'm sticking with it. I know they did not look good Monday night against the Rams.
Right.
But here's the key. Their offensive line is terrible right now
because
of injury. They get those guys healthy again. They're going to get Percy Harvin in the lineup.
Yes.
Folks, they're 7-1 with these problems.
They are.
And if they get home field, I mean, the only thing that scares me is that it's just widely assumed they're winning every home game. A little bit more than New Orleans. You know, New Orleans, everyone's like, ooh, we're scared of New Orleans at home. But Seattle, everyone's like, well, yeah, they'll win every game at home. Which, look, I wouldn't be shocked if they did again.
Well, New Orleans is going to be tough. But they already got the San Francisco at home game out of the way.
They'll probably lose at that. I mean, that Harbaugh with
they'll
revenge.
Split. They'll split. But the thing of it is, the only caveat to your theory, which I generally agree with about how it would be a foregone conclusion of New Orleans at Seattle for the NFC Championship.
Oh, no. One of them could lose. I'm just saying that there's no team that's going to win in both places.
Okay, all right.
Weeks.
Well, I was going to say, the caveat is, the third team in the discussion here, San Francisco, if anybody's good enough to go in and get the job done in either place, it would be them.
Yeah, but if you
They're
do it one place,
likely.
Here's the thing.
You
you're going to have to come back
weeks.
The next week and chances, unless if both of them got upset
not only that,
off the bye, which I don't see happening.
Not only that, here's the likeliest scenario because of the way the seeding is likely to go. The likeliest scenario would be that San Francisco would have to play Seattle first. And you've talked about that, the car crash effect of playing somebody the week after playing Seattle. Way that
New Orleans could win in Seattle, maybe in a rematch list, but I'm saying that
I'm saying San Francisco would go into New Orleans having been tenderized by Seattle the week before.
Yeah, I hear you. Here's Seattle's schedule, okay? Next 3 weeks versus Tampa Bay, huge revenge game that they're going to be up for in Atlanta.
Yeah. Battle of the 1976 expansion teams, okay?
Well, that was Tampa. Oh, Tampa Bay. Yeah. Then they're at home versus Minnesota.
Yeah.
Then they get a late bye. Oh, they get a bye going into the New Orleans game, too.
That doesn't even seem fair.
Yeah. Then they're at San Fran, which doesn't set up well for them. And then they have the Giants. Then they close versus Arizona and St. Louis. Worst case scenario, 12-4 for Seattle. Worst case scenario is 12-4.
Yeah.
Probably 13-3. And you look at New Orleans, who, let's see, what did New Orleans have? I know they still have to go at Atlanta, but Seattle's going to be up for that game at Atlanta after the playoffs last year.
Are we agreeing? Let's take our agreement a step further while you're looking that up. In whatever order, Seattle, New Orleans, San Francisco are the 1, 2, and 5. We have to agree on that.
Is going to be the 3 in the NFC East.
Probably the 4. Yes. Okay.
New Orleans, here's the thing, the difference, though. They still have 5 road games while Seattle has only 3 left.
Okay.
I think Seattle, Seattle's 1, New Orleans 2, Green Bay 3, San Francisco 5, Dallas 4.
And I think New Orleans is even a little bit more human on the road than Seattle is. Maybe not by much.
Yes, because they're such a dome team.
Yeah.
You know, that they're just built to win indoors.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Their road games are at Atlanta, though, mm-hmm. at St. Louis. Those are both domes.
Yeah.
They're at Carolina late in the year. Carolina
could be balmy.
We'll talk about them, yeah.
Yeah.
And then they're at the Jets this week. But, no, I mean, both those teams are going to be, I think, 12-win teams. And
yeah.
They'll get the byes. So that leaves us with one playoff spot, like the AFC. So let's hit this discussion.
Okay.
I'm going to disqualify some teams.
Okay.
Tell me if you agree.
All right.
And we've already disqualified the rest of the non-Dallas NFC East.
Yes.
Tampa Bay. They haven't won a game.
Easiest one there, yeah. Greg Schiano, worst coach in the league
interesting with them? I was thinking about who they should hire.
Who?
No, I don't have an answer because here's the problem. Here's the problem. They've got a good defense, right? So I was thinking, who
on
are the
paper, theoretically.
Okay, who are the best? So I think they need a guy, especially in that division, with an offensive mindset.
Yeah.
Who's the best young offensive coordinator that's going to be a hot candidate? Jay Gruden, right? They're not going to hire him because they had a bad experience with John Gruden.
That's true.
And they're not going to hire a college coach after – because, you know, there's some talk this Charlie Strong at Louisville has made a lot of waves. Oh, we should bring in this Charlie Strong. They're not going to bring in a college coach after this disaster with Schiano.
Ooh, no.
I think it could be Daryl Bevel of Seattle.
Okay.
Although he called a terrible game last night.
If
he's auditioning for head coach, you might want to destroy that tape.
Let me ask you this.
Especially if Seattle wins the Super Bowl.
I mean, fairly or unfairly, a lot of times it tends to be coming down to the climate of what's happening with a specific team. Relative to the end of last year, how much bloom is off the rose of Kyle Shanahan? Because that's an obvious candidate right there if you're talking about offense and developing a quarterback. A decent amount of bloom off the rose?
Yeah, I don't know. Has he ever been away from his father?
No, that's another consideration as well.
I mean, maybe he's just comfortable. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe he wants to let it ride with Washington.
Yeah.
He's comfortable. I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. All right. That was just a thought.
To me, because you know the way this league works.
Yes.
That the final teams remaining in the playoffs,
yeah.
Their coordinators get cherry-picked.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, Gus Bradley was Seattle's defensive coordinator. He's now in Jacksonville. I could see perhaps,
Bevel was a guy I thought last year.
That they were going to lose him. And Gruden's another guy who
You're right about that. Bad fit for Gruden.
Yeah.
Wrong last name.
Yeah. So, and who knows? Because he's done a great job, but his career has certainly been fast tracked by the last.
Yes.
Game. All right. So Tampa Bay's out. I think your boys in Atlanta are out.
Clearly, the loss to Aaron.
Again, like
that
Houston.
Sealed it.
Houston, it's just not their year. Too many injuries.
Right.
And I think, do we both agree, it's not going to be Arizona or St. Louis? St. Louis is going to really stink.
And, again, I'm going to go back to what I said about Atlanta, because I picked St. Louis to make the playoffs, because I knew there would be one team making it that would be a surprise, and I think we can agree now that 6th seed is going to be a surprise. I thought it would be St. Louis in a big tiebreaker with some other teams. I will not hide behind the Sam Bradford injury, because they weren't going to do it even before he went down.
No, they just
looked
bad.
I won't do it, yeah.
They just look bad. Are they going to go quarterback next year?
They are.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Now,
they do have a massive obligation.
I said this when we did the preview.
Yeah.
Before the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to stand by it. I think you were a year early with St. Louis.
I might be.
Because they have 2 top 10 picks potentially next year because they get Washington's from the RG3 trade.
Yes.
So, you know, everyone talking about, Cleveland, and what they were doing with the Richardson trade.
That's why I said the Browns would have to vastly overpay. Look at who's in front of them.
The Rams are going to have 2 picks probably before the Browns' first pick. They're going to have
right.
2 top 10 picks, because I don't see them winning a lot of games.
Right.
But one of them could be in the top 5.
Could be.
So.
Could be. Yeah, we'll rule those teams out.
Okay.
This is
and
getting
that
a little
leave,
bit easier.
And that leaves
there's
only.
There's one more slam dunk out team, that being Minnesota.
Oh, I forgot to
Come
mention
on.
Them.
Yeah, Minnesota's
got to
be. What was I
thinking? Oh, they stink.
Yeah,
they're
horrible.
Terrible. I mean, they're next to
going quarterback shopping, you know, 2 years after taking Christian Ponder inexplicably in the first round.
So that's
something
wow.
I screamed
Listen
about
to this.
When they did it.
The top 3 picks.
Yeah.
Because Minnesota lost to the Giants. So
yeah, they did.
They'll probably be picking in front of them. Both the top 3 picks are probably going to be Jacksonville, Tampa, and Minnesota. Those are all quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Oof. So, yeah, Minnesota, look, they were the obvious candidate to regress this year. Mm-hmm. They're even worse than I thought.
Yeah.
The defense has been killed by injuries. Nothing on a quarterback.
We both thought
they tried three quarterbacks, and they all stink.
Yeah, we both thought Minnesota was going to be bad last year. And it's a thing of where they just went on one of these runs.
Well, Adrian Peterson literally went on one of these runs.
Adrian Peterson, yeah, one of the greatest seasons in NFL history by any – I mean, not just a running back, by any player. He dragged them to the playoffs. And you're seeing this year what happens when a bad team is unable to be dragged to the playoffs by the equivalent of Mark Henry hauling an 18-wheeler, which is essentially what we saw last year.
I said 6 wins before the year, and there's no way they're getting to it.
Not even close.
So
it's
good. I bet over the summer, I bet a guy, a friend – that Minnesota would finish in last place in this division. He's from Minnesota.
Okay.
He's a big homer. We were hammered. It was like 2 in the morning. I was like, I'm going to take this guy's money. Although what's funny is I chickened out because I was like, yeah, they're going to only win like 6 games. And she was like, oh, you think they're only going to win 6 games? And I got like real nervous. I was like, God, is this the alcohol talking? Am I just trying to like make this guy mad? I'm like, let's do a pick. I'm like, I hedged myself and said, let's do him for last place. So.
Well, the thing of it is, though, here's the thing. In terms of the eye test, okay? Like, we both thought.
Leslie Frazier, by the way?
Yeah. Yeah, that
he may be he may want to update his LinkedIn profile pretty soon.
I haven't heard it put that way too many times, but that's outstanding. Here's the thing, is that again a very good because he was a guy who was a perennial candidate for jobs, a very good defensive coordinator. We see again another Peter Principle guy.
Yeah,
stick to being a D coordinator, bro. That's your ceiling.
I mean, it makes sense why. I mean, these guys are real successful. You give a chance, but it just you can always kind of tell. Leslie Frazier, would you hire him again?
Absolutely not. This is it. He's one and done based on how he's done. But here's the thing, though. In terms of the eye test, we talked about Indianapolis when we were doing our AFC one. We expected them to regress, but it was mostly because of the numbers. Indianapolis was a team where
I thought they would bounce back. Like,
yeah,
Minnesota's
like,
not a team I'm buying stock in.
Like, even if Indianapolis was by no means, according to the numbers, a legitimate 11-5 team last year, they were way closer to being a legitimate 11-5 than Minnesota was a legitimate 10-6. The gap between the flukiness is not even close. The flukiness in what Minnesota did is off the charts. You're seeing what happens this year when there is no flukiness.
First thing I do when I start breaking down the league
and
projecting things is, all right, which playoff teams are not going to make it this year? You know about the turnover rule.
Yeah.
It's always at least 4.
I immediately put them
Minnesota
on that
was
list.
The first one. I was like, they're out.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, that was – so we got a bubble in the NFC.
I forgot about Minnesota. So there's only 3 teams really competing for that last spot, according to you and I.
Yeah. Well, and I tell you what, I would probably be going in a different direction were it not for the injury in Chicago.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, Chicago was a team, and we'll have to see how they can make it without Cutler.
Yeah.
But the schedule's not good
with
that, for the next couple weeks. It's huge. Their season, unfortunately, is hanging in the balance over the next month.
Yeah.
And I don't like their chances. But Cutler, by the way, this is like the 3rd year in a row he's gotten hurt at this point of the season.
Yeah.
Are they going to go in a different direction if they don't make the playoffs this year?
Well,
if he comes back and leads them to a playoff berth, okay, he earns the contract, he's back. But
this was going to be the make or break year on do we commit to Cutler or not. Here's the thing,
He started out great, and he's just looked bad of late. Like, they have some losses. Like, there was a point when I'm like, man, I think Chicago could really maybe win this division 11-5.
Yeah.
But then hold on, let me bring up Chicago's schedule here because, you know, they're coming off a bye, and they're playing Green Bay without Cutler this week on Monday night. But before that bye week, they had some kind of mystifying – they had the 45-41 loss to the Redskins.
Yeah.
You know, shame on me. I thought they were going to show up at home against the Saints. They didn't. You know, they're lucky. 2 of their wins were come from behind, Cincinnati and Minnesota, weeks 1 and 2. So things could really be worse here. Check it out. Next couple weeks, some say – even if they lost both of them, they're still in the discussion, I think. They're at Green Bay Monday, as I said, and then they will be at home in a revenge spot against Detroit, who's off a bye.
Okay.
If they go 0-2, which the odds will say they will, that's 4-5.
They're done.
That's 5 losses in 6 games. But then the schedule, Rick Morris, does get easier.
But look, no.
Versus Baltimore, at St. Louis, at Minnesota, versus Dallas on Monday night. At Cleveland, at Philly.
Here's the thing, though. You have no margin for error at that point because under this scenario, Detroit will have swept the season series.
That would be killer.
Yeah.
You're right. That would be killer.
Yeah. They have to leapfrog the Lions while being behind them.
Okay.
So it's unlikely looking at it.
Well, Speaking of the Lions, I was going to transition there.
Well, last thing on the Bears. I don't think they'll move on from Cutler if for no other reason than this. How many teams have we talked about? Again, next year's going to be a great year for quarterbacks. Bears are going to be drafting in the 20s. They're not going to be.
Yeah, who are they going to get better than Jay? Like, the thing is, okay, yeah. It's great. Okay, this guy's not really. But, like, who are you going to get better than Jay Cutler?
Yeah.
Jay Cutler's still a top 15 quarterback.
If they do anything, it's a thing where, and I have to say, you know, like my friend Ken Bex, the scout from First Down Scouting, of the guys out there that he considers to be diamonds in the rough, if you see the Bears do anything, it might be a thing of, like, I've kind of wondered, like, well, gee, why has nobody traded for Drew Stanton and given him a shot? If they do anything, it'll be like a move around the margins like that. I take it from your face you're not a big Drew Stanton guy.
I'm not saying he's bad, but you can't go from Jay Cutler to Drew Stanton. By the way, another problem with the Bears, their defense.
Well,
stinks.
I mean as competition for Cutler.
Oh. Their defense is awful.
It is. This year. It's gotten.
If they don't force turnovers, they give up a lot of points.
Yeah, it has really, really aged. In looking at the Lions, and I said off air, I didn't expect you to approve of my pick. They are my pick for the last spot.
I have no problem with that wild card.
Because I know you're not a big Jim Schwartz guy, but
I'm not.
To me,
I would save his job if they make the playoffs.
Clearly it should.
If they don't make the playoffs, is he gone?
I don't think so. Questions. I mean, you'd be saying, okay, Jim Schwartz, you're gone because you haven't made the playoffs in two of the last 3 years. The Lions
are not
his
evil goatee. I'm just gonna keep asking random questions.
I think it's a good move.
Okay.
I think it's a very good move. Hey, you don't want to mess with what's working there. But I looked at it because I started kind of preparing for this a little bit mentally when you said last week this would be a good week for this segment. I said to myself, if they beat Dallas, I'm picking them, and I'm going to stick to
that. That was a huge win.
That was a sign to me about what kind of a team they are. Having said that, I mean, and I alluded to this before, we may get to the point because, you know, a lot of this comes to public expectations and Vegas and everything like that. The way Detroit's playing, there may be a little bit of a Detroit bubble in the second half, and that bubble may pop, but this is still a team easily that could go 9-7 and grab that last spot. And having said that, probably be cannon fodder at Lambeau Field in the first round, as I think they would be, but to at least make it. And I was, by the way, one more thing, too. And I say
we both said Detroit would improve this year to, like, 8-8 and be in the discussion.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is a thing of not going much further up than that, them being a little bit better than that. I want to say this also, too, because I've seen the first kind of stirrings after his game last week. And, by the way, that loudmouth punk Dez Bryant, I want to say, as a Megatron fantasy owner, can he please play against him every week? That would be nice. But here's the thing. I'm already starting to see, I think it might, was it Bill Simmons or somebody speculating about what would it take for the whispers to start for Megatron for MVP. Look, what he's doing in Detroit, it's not the exact same thing as what Peterson did in Minnesota. It's not the exact same one-man show.
But they looked horrible that one game without him.
It's along the same lines, Kyle Ross. It's along the same lines. He needs to be in the discussion.
I'm going to surprise you even more.
Yeah.
I'm going to agree with you that Detroit gets it.
Okay.
Over the only team we haven't talked about and a team that we're...
I really thought you'd go with Carolina. You've been a Carolina booster the last couple of years.
I have, and I'll tell you what is very nice to see, even if they don't make it. Ron Rivera, all of a sudden, he must read Barnwell because he just goes for it on fourth down all the time. And imagine when you have a 6'6" quarterback with 270 pounds, drafted number one overall, who... the limited amount of time you allowed him to go for it on third and one, made it like 85% of the time. Wow, look, he still keeps getting converting those plays.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
Carolina, I think, initially is going to have it's going to be close. By the way, if Detroit, who's 5-3 already, comes off the bye and wins in Chicago and gets to 6-3, they're looking good.
Yeah.
They're sitting pretty.
Over.
Yeah. I don't know over, but they'll be sitting pretty.
They'll take Chicago out of it.
Yes. Carolina now, 4-3, first time under Rivera, they're over 500. They're at home versus Atlanta this week. They're favored to win. They could get to 5-3. I'll tell you what, the numbers, we've talked about this, and to your surprise, we talked about it last week, I know. The numbers love Carolina.
Yeah.
This year. They are number 4 in DVOA at Football Outsiders.
Okay.
Entering last week when they covered, they were tied with Kansas City, number 8 in the Vegas power rankings, and their point differential is very good.
Yeah.
Now, the only we keep talking about asterisks and caveats and stuff like that. They still have that 2-14 record in games decided by 7 points or less with Rivera and Newton. They're winning, and their win streak, Rick Morris, has not exactly come against the finest of opponents.
That is true.
Minnesota, St. Louis, Tampa Bay. Detroit's at least beaten some good teams.
Yeah.
So
it's another reason I lean towards them.
Yeah, and Carolina has not played New Orleans yet, I don't believe. And so they'll have, by law, they'll have to play them twice.
Yeah.
Whereas Detroit, they've already taken their loss at Lambeau. They'll get a chance at revenge.
Yeah.
On Thanksgiving, a game they always lose traditionally, but it'll at least be at home. Carolina's schedule down the stretch is kind of hard. Let's say they beat Atlanta this week, get to 5-3. Next 2 weeks, they're at San Fran, will be off a bye.
Oof.
And then they'll have a huge Monday night home game against New England.
So that next game, talk about a trifecta. It's on the West Coast.
Yeah.
They're playing the Niners. Awful. And the Niners are off a bye.
And then they're at home versus New England on Monday night. That screams ugly result. Things start going south to
that,
me.
That game feels like
I would
a coin
see them
flip.
At 5-5 then, and then they have they'd be 5-5 with New Orleans still twice, and at Atlanta and at Miami. I think they're going to miss. I think they're going to be 8-8 and miss out. Detroit, I got 9-7. They make it.
I mean, what you've done with me a few times. Pose the question: if that happens, second half skid miss the playoffs. Ron Rivera, is he gone? I think so.
Yeah.
He gone.
It depends how he coaches.
I guess that's true.
I
guess that's true.
He's a better coach now than he was 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And Ron Rivera can't go out on the field and catch Cam Newton's passes, which is a problem.
Right.
If you gave Cam Newton Calvin Johnson, good luck, because Carolina's receivers are off. I know we got
I picked up Brandon LaFell for one of my teams on a flyer.
About him. He's not good. He shouldn't be starting. And your boy Ted Ginn just stinks.
Too bad Dominic Hickson's hurt all the time.
And Steve Smith is old.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about a team that's got to have their eye on Marquise Lee. We keep referencing the draft.
Yes.
They don't need a quarterback, Carolina. They need a receiver real bad. I'm surprised. Well, this Jerry Richardson's real cheap.
That's true.
I'm surprised with Newton there, though, that they can't attract a free agent wide receiver. Do they make a trade for Josh Gordon? Do they go
oh,
get
they
Hakeem?
Might.
Do they get Hakeem Nicks?
That's possible, yeah.
By the way, the trade deadline has passed since we've been on the air. Has there been any big moves here? Let's break some news here.
Yeah, you may hear screaming from me if there's anything about Josh Gordon being
moved.
Let's
see here. I'm hitting the button here.
Yeah.
I'm hitting the button here.
People are hearing this in real time.
This is real professional, isn't it?
Yeah. Let's just check the wire here,
Let's just
and
check
gentlemen.
The wire, ladies and gentlemen, and see if there's been any trades today.
This is where we're using our ability to be entertaining as a crutch because people are laughing along with us.
I hope so, at least. Of just I don't see any, so.
No.
Okay. I don't see any. No trades.
Okay.
I do see Jerry Jones claim Deion Sanders could have stopped Megatron.
Sopagoa to the Patriots. Stop the presses. But in terms of this, here's the thing, though. There's not a lot of – I mean, okay, I guess I'm contradicting myself when I think about
Derek
Mike Wallace.
Rose has also publicly claimed that his IQ is higher, which is interesting.
Maybe he's been using that luminosity or whatever it is. Like the cute brunette chick that keeps showing up on the click-through ads.
Yes.
But as far as it goes – You know, I guess I'm going to contradict what I'm about to say because I'm thinking about Mike Wallace, who did make money in free agency. But you don't – somebody like Dwayne Bowe. I thought Dwayne Bowe was going to attract attention.
You don't
want to
pay for a receiver because you can get so many good ones late in the round. You actually don't even want to take one in the first round.
But it's like – but it's, I don't get that line of thinking because it's still a crapshoot. We can just get one later. Well,
it's true. It's
true.
If
you're really good and you're really lucky.
If you can just find that diamond in the rough who the rest of the league undervalues and you're – you know. I mean, I thought T.Y. Hilton was a steal when the Colts got him. He played at a small school, Florida International, because I'm a degenerate. I obviously watch a lot of Tuesday night Sunbelt games and thought he was good.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, if you could get your scouting done right, okay. But you're right. I mean, if Marquise Lee, maybe in their future, they need a receiver.
They do. That's a slam
great,
dunk
But
move.
You know what? They have a great front seven, Carolina.
They do.
As does Detroit.
They do. Yeah, they're both coming along very, very well in that regard. So we're actually agreeing on all the playoff teams here and probably just about on the slotting of them as well. I'm seeing Seattle 1, New Orleans 2,
yep.
San Francisco 5. Are you?
Yep, and Green Bay 3, right. Dallas 4, Detroit 6.
That's the exact order that I have. All right, so my first round, I'm looking at it, and I'm saying San Fran goes in and does Dallas. It might be ugly. The other one being, again,
I would love to take Dallas in that game.
I can see you doing that. The other one is basically Detroit, thank you for participating in this year's playoffs. Go up to Lambeau and get done. So that leaves us with a second round of what we were denied last year, San Francisco and Seattle meeting in the playoffs, the rubber match in the playoffs. What did I say before? Schedule is destiny. That game, the way that we're figuring it, would be at Seattle. That makes all the difference in the world. San Francisco, I'm seeing a lot of people dogging them and saying they're like not really as good as their record, which I don't really understand.
Yeah, they've beaten up on the bad teams, but they've beaten up on them.
Yeah, they have, but I mean, like that loss to Indianapolis doesn't look nearly as bad now, does it? I mean, there's some other.
Well, I mean, they shouldn't have lost as badly.
No, they shouldn't have. But I mean, some things look
a
little
bit.
That's the
thing. Two losses, they didn't look good in them.
I understand that.
By the way, it's nice to see that they're going back to the read option. I don't understand why teams that have success with the read option, they're like, yeah, well, all the defenses will catch on to this. Let's just abandon it. How about you let the defenses catch up? Like, keep using it until you're convinced. Just don't assume that the defenses are ready for it. Because I saw Colin Kaepernick running wild, granted against Jacksonville.
Yeah.
But, I mean.
That's you know who's thinking that embodies right there? One of the worst coaches in recent times, Botch Davis. 2002, Pittsburgh gets blown off the field the first two games by spread offenses. Game three, Browns don't run any of it with their quote-unquote four deuces. And then he says afterwards, well, surely they would have prepared after what happened to them against Oakland and New England the last 2 weeks. You never do that. You never make that assumption. You make the other team shut it down. Absolutely have to. In my tortured mind, I never let go of these kinds of things here.
Let's see.
I've got Seattle beating San Francisco. I've got the result of the other game. As you said, how's anybody going to go into either place and get it done? I think Green Bay
could. Green Bay's a great dome team.
Yes.
Green Bay's a great dome team.
This is because they basically are a dome team that plays at Lambeau.
Aaron Rodgers' statistics, I saw something. I don't have them offhand
are unbelievable
in domes.
Yeah.
Last year when they played Minnesota in the first round of the playoffs?
Yeah.
All the Green Bay players were like, yeah, we kind of wish this game was in Minnesota.
Yeah.
But I could see that being a coin flip game, and thus I'm still sticking with Seattle to win. I'm not going round by round. I'm just staying Seattle. I'm still sticking with what I said before the season, Seattle over Denver Super
God
Bowl.
God bless you, because, again, my preseason pick was San Francisco over Houston in the Super Bowl. I can make a heck of a case for San Francisco still coming out of the field in the NFC, but, again, I will defer on this one here. So we actually are picking all of the seeding the same in the NFC and all of the playoff games the same results in the NFC, which go ahead, get down on it right now, ladies and gentlemen, because that's the outcome. We have predicted it ahead of time, but Seattle over Denver in the Super Bowl. It's interesting because we talked about this, and again, that was your preseason pick, and that now looks like the chalk pick way to go. I saw you make a reference, our good friend, FDH Lounge senior editor Jason Jones, a little thread on Facebook there.
Uh-oh, what is going on here?
I wanted to bring up what you mentioned about that, about the Denver-Indianapolis game. Was Denver at all exposed with their wide receivers vis-a-vis what they would find against Seattle? Because, again, keep in mind the kind of start that Denver had against a crappy D.C. secondary this past week, they were still jamming them up by playing physical here. Is that the blueprint that Seattle can use to just take them apart?
Wes Welker and Eric Decker are not getting open against Brandon Browner and Richard Sherman. Now, it'll be interesting. You still have Demaryius Thomas.
Right.
And Sherman may go on him.
Right.
But, I mean, it doesn't matter. Whoever. Rich, by the way, remember when Darrell Revis was trying to still claim he was the best cornerback in the game? Hit the bricks, pal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty funny. Richard Sherman, say what you will about all the trash talking. He ripped Brady, and everyone's like, who is this guy to be talking trash to Tom Brady? Oops, turns out he's really good.
Yeah.
And then he claims, oh, I'm the best quarterback in the league. Oh, hey, what about Darrell Revis? It turns out he's better than Revis, too.
Darrell Revis was last the best cornerback in the league right about the time, give or take, before Obamacare was foisted upon the land. That's right about the give or take line of when that changed.
Well, we've got Richard Sherman and quasi-universal healthcare. What a fantastic country we live in, Rick Morris.
Outstanding. The other thing is, too, the whole odd kind of thing of this year's Super Bowl, the conditions probably going to be pretty bad in
that wouldn't favor
the Meadowlands.
That would not favor
exactly.
Denver.
Exactly. That favors Seattle.
I love how we're handicapping a mythological game 6 months from now, by the way. And doing, I believe, a damn good job
of it. This is what we do.
Yes.
Well, that would really, because, again, Denver or Seattle is going to want to kind of muddy it up against Denver to try to get that offense out of rhythm. It would make it a lot easier to do on the slick turf of the Meadowlands with February snow versus playing it in a dome somewhere. Last question I have for you. If we're right about this with the outcome, and then you're now looking at Peyton Manning's third Super Bowl and being 1-2 in Super Bowls, how much does that work against him historically?
Not that much.
Okay.
I mean, It's funny. I got into a debate with a buddy about a month ago, Brady or Manning, that debate. And, you know, right now I guess it's kind of maybe a little easier to say Manning.
Really? Because I lean Brady.
I still do, too. I mean, I know you don't like who my number one quarterback is of all time, John Elway.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I say Montana and then Otto Graham.
First of all.
Yeah.
Stop.
Why?
Okay, one of them, I'll leave this up to the listeners to decide who I'm talking about here without mentioning my name. Okay, there was like 8 teams and no black, okay?
One of them made 10 championship games in a row, and I think it's the same guy.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Now on to Joe Montana.
Okay.
Okay. He had the greatest receiver of all time. Look, I'm not penalizing him for it, but it bears mentioning. John Elway. Talk about a guy who lost more Super Bowls than he won.
Did he have the greatest wide receiver of all time, or did Jerry Rice have the greatest quarterback of all time?
That's chicken and the egg. Jerry Rice, greatest receiver of all time. Jerry Rice was still good with Steve Young.
Don Hutson says hi.
Don Hutson? Okay, let me tell you something. Receivers before 1975 don't count.
Really? Like when you could mug them legally at the line of scrimmage, when you could legally take a crowbar to their helmet?
I never saw that happen.
Well, you know.
Listen here.
I'm told that's
good.
The way it went.
John Elway, you talk about a guy who had a losing record in Super Bowls?
Yeah.
First three Denver teams he took to Super Bowls were not good teams. And they only got the Super Bowl because of him. They were the inferior team both. I've said this before in the show. They were the inferior team both years against the Browns.
One of them kind of made it to the Super Bowl because of Ernest Byner, as I have a sour memory.
Here we go. Yeah. Shoulda, woulda. Okay. Yeah. And guess why they made it the year before in Cleveland? Because Elway drove a stake into their heart, 98 yards long.
Yeah.
What do you got? How do you like them apples?
Well, you know, Marty was playing the prevent defense against them, three-man rush. I blame that on Marty.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
Funny how the history books don't. By the way, too.
You got an excuse for everything.
How come
you?
It's only people in Cleveland that have noticed this? Rich Carlos's quote unquote game winning kick actually went outside the bar. How come nobody outside of Cleveland ever talks about that?
Because it's a conspiracy by the worldwide leader. They just want to make us mourn for Bill Buckner.
Well.
Get out of here, Cleveland fans.
I just thought I'd get that in there about Carlos. He missed the quote unquote game winning kick.
I suppose you think Scott Norwood's field goal was good.
No, I know that one wasn't, but Carlos whiffed his, but go ahead.
How about Ray Finkel? How about his kick?
laces out.
By the way, what was the kick? Was it South Carolina, Missouri Saturday night? I know we shouldn't talk to your boy Feruglia because he doesn't watch college football. It's not entertaining enough, but...
A guy who's not the Bob Sacramento of this show.
But
if Jason Jones is listening, he is laughing, busting a nut right now.
But I think the guy screwed up with laces out on the on the Missouri kick. Yeah, they were making fun of it. That's all I got about that.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
like,
awesome. Best quarterbacks of all time. That's where this tangent started.
Oh,
okay.
He's in the discussion. I mean, look.
I think Peyton's just outside of the top five.
No, I have him top four.
Really?
Yeah, I don't have your boy Otto Graham.
Really?
No.
How high do you have Otto Graham?
I don't know. Honorable mention?
Really?
He's the best quarterback named Otto. How about that?
That's pretty disrespectful of a guy that went to 10 championship games in a row.
Yeah, well, it's easy when there's 6 teams.
There was more than 6 teams.
There was not more
than
6 teams.
You were exaggerating.
There was not. It was like
that was after the AAFL merger.
It was like the Canton Bulldogs, the Decatur Staleys, and the Cleveland Browns. The only 3 teams.
That was after.
And one of them didn't make the playoffs.
That was after the AAFL merger of 1950.
So, you're just making up leagues at this point.
Well, of the Browns' 8 world championships, it is true that 4 came from the AAFL. But the Browns still, by the way, Squealer fan, Browns have 8 world championships. You have 6. Okay, proceed.
Yeah, none of them counted for the Browns.
Sure they did. The NFL championships didn't start with Super Bowls, Kyle Ross. Don't be ahistorical like our friends in Pittsburgh, okay? Let's not be ahistorical here. Pretend that the term championship originated with the term Super Bowl.
Well, I want every Babe Ruth and Henry Aaron statue torn down so we can build them to the great Sadahara O. How about that? Or Josh Gibson. Talk about leagues that got screwed.
Yeah, the Negro Leagues, absolutely. Yeah. Don't forget Oscar Chamberlain while you're at it and some of the other players from back in the day. Yeah.
Just babbling incoherently now.
Yeah, do we have a point? Is there
a
thread?
I don't know. We're just saying things right now.
We've completely lost the thread here, ladies and gentlemen. The thing of it is, though, this is the perverse thing between you and I.
Yes.
Is it sometimes when we lose the thread, that's like when we do some of our best stuff.
Yeah, I know. By the way, I would have... Do you know what is like the – if there could have been a sporting event in the past that it now can no longer happen that I would pay if I could build a time machine to make Negro League All-Stars versus the Major League Baseball All-Stars?
That'd
I would like
tremendous.
Have loved to see it just because like of just like the tension in the air the whole time.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know. That might get a little bit sour once Bob Feller starts dropping N-bombs, but
oh, Jesus.
which I will say, our good friend from the 21st Century Media Alliance, Russ Cohen, will never forgive Bob Feller nor his memory, because he was in an elevator with him one time at a one of these memorabilia events, and yeah. Bob Feller was dropping N-bombs.
Jesus,
like,
Bob.
That's the only thing he remembers about him.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like, wow. I don't want to hear about his on-field stuff, but he dropped N-bombs.
Yeah. Sounds like some of these Lou Reed discussions that have been going on recently. Yeah,
exactly. Well, I guess that's as good of a note to end it on as any. Yes. R.I.P. Lou Reed.
Okay.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.